Forgive me for my sin. I want to follow you, Jesus. The Bible says we are saved for all eternity and we get to live a with God life. A with God life means that God fills us with his Holy Spirit. But as Andrew rightfully shared, we are fairly broken vessels and at times we can leak out the Holy Spirit. And so we are praying that God would continue to fill us up with the Holy Spirit so that he can send us out to be a witness to the power of God in our lives and the power of God in the world. Well, tonight we're moving on in our series looking at Acts chapter 3. We're looking at praying in the powerful name of Jesus. I want to start with this quote by Nick Ripken. We'll go back to that quote. The Bible is not. Did you pick that? That was for you to go, wow, is that true? The Bible is not past tense, it is present and active tense. This is not just some ancient text that has no relevance today. The Bible is not past tense. Nick Ripken says that the Bible is present active tense. And here's a man who searches in and around the persecuted church and sees the power of God in his children and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is living, it's active, it's not past tense, it is present active tense. And so we believe that the Spirit of God is going to speak into our lives tonight. And so we're going to pray and we're going to call upon the powerful name of Jesus that he would speak into our lives afresh. Let's do that tonight. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your powerful, powerful name, the name of Jesus. We acknowledge, Lord, that without you, our life is empty. Our life can become meaningless. We can lack purpose. But with you, Father, as our God, and with you, Holy Spirit, you can fill us up that we may reach our full potential, that we can find a stride of love, that we can experience breakthrough prayers, that we can be heard by you. And we praise you, Lord, that your word is living and active. So speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I'm preaching out of my journal. When Andrew gave this topic of Acts chapter 3 in the name of Jesus, what was really interesting while I was in Africa, I did a reflection on the name of Jesus. And so I've adjusted this tonight and I trust that it will be a great challenge to us. Everything has a name. Of course, everywhere we look, there is a name for something. I mean, you have a name. You have a family name. You have a given name, a birth name, a name that your parents gave you when you were born. But sometimes we can also receive a labeled name. And not always those labeled names give us a sense of encouragement. Sometimes, you know, some people can call us fat or skinny or ugly or good looking or nice or kind or harsh or mean. There are so many labeled names that can stick, and at times they can hurt. At times they can make us believe that lie. They can really deflate our self-worth, or names can actually build us up. We can feel encouraged. We can feel lifted up. Names are somewhat powerful. Words aren't just kind of meaningless. They don't just come out of our mouth and then, hey, they just go up into the atmosphere. No, when somebody speaks a word, especially when we respect that person or we trust that person, that name can stick. Names are powerful. I think sometimes words and names are a little bit like toothpaste. If you think about toothpaste, once it comes out of the tube, it's impossible to get that toothpaste and stuff it back into the tube. When that toothpaste is out, it is out of the tube. When those words come out of our mouth, they're out of our mouth. You can't take them back, and those words can make somebody feel something. A great memory verse that I've given my little boys out of Proverbs is the tongue has the power of life and death, which is our words make people happy or sad. But what's in a name? Well, tonight I want to talk about a really powerful name. I want to talk about a name that is above every other name. And through this name, all of creation came to be. I saw the most amazing full moon as I'm driving to church tonight. And I'm looking at that full moon. And I'm acknowledging that there was one powerful name that made all of creation, just one name. His name is so powerful that rich men and women have become poor, and poor people have become rich by just one name. Just one name, lost people have been found, blind people can see, the addicted are free. Just one name, where the timid have become bold and the guilty have been forgiven. Only one name, where the troubled have received comfort and mercy. Just one name. I'm sure you know what that name is. It's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Tonight is called In the Name of Jesus. The book of Acts was also written by a guy called Luke, Dr. Luke, and he wrote about the life of Jesus in Luke's gospel. So we get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. So our journey in Acts tonight is going to start in Luke chapter 10, as Luke powerfully puts a story where the disciples are sent out into the very powerful name of Jesus. We're going to have a look, if you've got your Bibles there, at Luke chapter 10. And I'd like to step through fairly quickly through this as we launch into Acts chapter 3. In verses 1 to 3, we read this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him in every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." Jesus says to his disciples, "Go, I'm going to send you out." And Jesus sends them out in his name, and he sends them out as lambs amongst wolves. That doesn't sound like a very kind of safe place to be, does it? If you're a lamb amongst wolves. But the disciples are going to learn that there is great power in the name of Jesus, where they can be lamb amongst wolves and make a powerful difference in the world. Because they're not going out in their strength, they're not going out in their energy, they're actually going out in the name of Jesus. And the disciples are going to learn just how powerful that name is. Let's have a listen to what happens. Jesus also said, "When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you," in verse 8. "Heal the sick who are there and tell them that the kingdom of God is near you." So what happened to the disciples? They're like lambs amongst wolves. They're in people's homes. They're in the powerful name of Jesus, and they're told to heal the sick. And they're told to preach that the kingdom of God is here to set you free from fear and set you into a relationship with God. So what happened? How did the disciples go? This is kind of like basic training, I think. Our soldiers go to Kapuka, where they do basic training, getting ready for the defense force. For the disciples, this is like their Kapuka. This is their training ground for what we're about to see. For the disciples are starting to learn what it means to be under and in the powerful name of Jesus. So what happens to the disciples? Let's have a listen in verse 17. Well, the 72 disciples, they returned to Jesus with great joy. And they said, "Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name." And Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Did you read that? Hear that? Nothing will harm you. Jesus says, "I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves." And now he is saying that in my name, nothing will harm you. The disciples came back and they had their taste. They had their experience of using the powerful name of Jesus. And what happened? Those that were possessed by evil spirits submitted to them. These are just ordinary men and women that are using the name of Jesus, and those that are fully oppressed are set free from demonic possession and oppression, and they come back with great joy. Why is there joy in their hearts? Because the name of Jesus is the only name to bring powerful change to our world. And disciples of Jesus, that is us, we get to go out every single day in the name of Jesus. We ought to be coming back to our missional families at City on a Hill Night Church with great joy over what has happened in the name of Jesus each week. But I fear that for many of us, our fellowship of Jesus is like a great secret that the world knows nothing about. I'll touch on that in a few moments' time. The name of Jesus. There is no other name. Last year, I was so really encouraged about some breakthrough prayers that had happened. I want to share just two quick stories about the powerful name of Jesus. After morning church, I noticed that there was a lady who was at church in great pain. She had a walking stick and she was suffering from gout in both legs. She could hardly walk and she was in agony. She just sat in the cafe area and the church was full in morning church of just great community and fellowship. But I noticed this woman who regularly comes to our church, there she was sitting in the cafe with a walking stick by herself. I just went to see how she was going. Obviously, she was in a lot of pain. And I said, look, can I just pray for you? And she said, sure. All I did, and I don't believe that I did anything other than pray in the name of Jesus. That's all I did. I asked, can I just touch your ankle? I just put my hand on her ankle and I just prayed in the name of Jesus that this gout would leave her body and that she would know freedom. She didn't tell me that as I was praying, she felt this energy come from my hand, but it just went up her leg and she felt seriously no pain. When she got home, she actually rang Ivor, who's on pastoral care, to say what had happened. But she said, my other leg is in tremendous pain, but this leg has no pain anymore. And I said, well, you should ring Paul, it's just a joke, you should ring Paul, that he should come over and just start pray for the other leg. So she rang me on the Monday and she said, well, she shared what happened. I was utterly blown away. And she said, well, can you come over and pray for the other one? So I said, sure, why not? So I went over to her house and her late husband who was there, Barry, and I said, look, Lynn, I don't know. This has never happened before in my Christian faith. I've prayed and prayed and prayed. I've never seen anything like this before. It's the first time in my discipleship that this has ever, ever happened. And so I said, look, I don't know, Lynn, I'll just pray for your other leg. Or how do I just put my hand on your other leg? And I put my hand on her other leg and just prayed in the powerful name of Jesus that she would be freed from this pain of gout. And the same thing happened. She felt this energy come. It went up her leg and she has not had gout ever since. She threw away her walking stick. That's incredible, isn't it? That's got nothing to do with me. Can I honestly say that has never, ever happened in any of my fellowship of Jesus ever before? On that, around about the similar time, there was another lady who comes into our offices to do some copying of CDs. And she was actually walking out of Sam's office and she was hunched over and she was in a lot of pain. She was just shuffling like this. She hadn't been out of her house for some weeks, hadn't seen her at church for ages. And I just said, wow, are you okay? Of course, she's not okay. And she was suffering from a serious medical condition. I said, look, can I just pray for you? All I did is just put my hand on her back and I just prayed. It didn't seem like any, I just prayed for a healing in the powerful name of Jesus that she would be free from this pain and free from this suffering and that God would give her a freedom to be able to serve him. And I finished praying and I didn't think anything of it. She walked away in tears, utter tears, kind of half shuffling, walking away down the end of our hall there. And she was crying. I thought, she's been in a lot of pain. Of course she's going to be crying. And anyway, that night she woke up and she saw a light in her bedroom, a supernatural light. She got out of her bed to head towards this light. And when she got out of her bed, she felt her whole pain going. And she has not had that condition ever since. In fact, the other day I was chatting to Jesse at his table and she forgot something. And I saw her run down the hallway to get it and then run back. I was chatting to Jesse and I just was like, what? That's unbelievable. We actually filmed her. Her name's Margaret. We filmed her when she's in our Time to Pray booklet. We've had so many answered prayers here at CBC in the name of Jesus. And she had a little video of, and she shared her story. Her doctors couldn't believe it. She was on some intense medication. And now she seriously has not got that pain and she's got a freedom to life. Again, I have no idea how that happened other than just the name of Jesus. When God wants to move, He will move. But what happens when we pray and we pray and we pray and we don't see answers to prayer? That's really challenging, isn't it? You know, I've prayed over my late father-in-law, John, and he died of cancer. We've prayed over Barry in recent months, and he still died of cancer. You know, some of us live with unanswered prayer, and we're like, God, where are you? Don't you love me? Why don't you answer my prayers? There is such a mystery. But I know this, God is a good God. And He invites us to pray and never, ever, ever give up. In Luke chapter 18, there is the parable of the persistent widowed. And Luke writes this parable, reflecting on what Jesus had said. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And it was of a widowed who longed for justice, went to a very, very cruel judge that didn't love God, didn't love people. And eventually this judge granted this woman justice, not because he loved God, not because he cared about this woman, but purely because she kept badgering him. And Jesus says, your heavenly Father is nothing like that cruel judge. He's a good, good, good Father. And when we come to Him day and night, He will grant us justice. But we got to keep praying and never give up and keep trusting that God will come and rescue us. Because when we cry out to God day and night, He does hear our prayers. He calls us to trust. Trust in His goodness. Trust in His timing. He knows what's best. Even though we want to be rescued from what is happening in our life right now, there's nothing better than some sort of pain relief. But you know what? God sometimes wants us to stay in that because He's got more learning to do. We've got more learning. And we need to trust Him and keep praying. Sometimes we've got to keep going to medical professionals for help. We've got to keep reaching out to one another. We keep waiting on the Lord for His answers to prayer. But you know what? Just because we have unanswered prayer, it doesn't mean that the powerful name of Jesus only works sometimes. The powerful name of Jesus is powerful all the time. When you're asleep at night, the powerful name of Jesus is still powerful. When you rise in the morning, Jesus is powerful. Right now, Jesus is powerful. There's not a second of your life when the name of Jesus is not powerful. It is always powerful. And Jesus gives you and I authority to pray in His name and expect miracles. You and I have that authority. And for the disciples in Luke 10, they were learning about this in their basic training, in their kapuka, because eventually we know that Jesus rose again. He goes to heaven. He's at the right hand of Father. He's coming back. Oh, baby, He's coming back and I can't wait. And right now He's given us authority. And here in the book of Acts, we see that disciples have to trust in the powerful name of Jesus without the very tangible body of Jesus. They've been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And we see that here is Peter and John. They go to the temple. Check out this clip. It's really stirring. I feel like we should go down to Cronulla right now and pray for anyone that's got a need. I really wish we could do that. Check out this clip of Acts chapter 3.
Thank you. Thank you.
My brothers, come here.
Tonight.
you, sister. Thank you. Thank you.
Mary. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, you'll receive power.
I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I will give you.
In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, rise up and walk. He is healed by our power. It is through Jesus.
He did not die. He is still with us. It is his power that made this man walk.
Jesus did this.
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 Saying? They're shouting that wretched man's name again.
You say he cured the beggar.
Bring the ringleaders to me.
And that lying beggar.
It's a stirring scene, isn't it? Acts chapter 3. Jesus did this. For Peter and John, they've been sent out in Luke chapter 10. They've been sent out in the powerful name of Jesus, and now they are in the powerful name of Jesus praying over this beggar. And we're told that he went walking and leaping. He started to praise God. What's interesting about this beggar, though, is that there he was asking for money. His existence was about reaching out for, I guess, some money that could bring comfort to his challenge in life. You know, we all may not be actual beggars on the streets tonight, but there are challenges that we have in life. There are challenges that we are reaching out for tonight for help. There are things in our life that we would love to see changed. And so often we try and grab for quick fixes. Sometimes in life we think that if we can just reach out into this relationship with this boy or this girl, they may fix the need that I have for love in my soul. Sometimes our quick fixes, if it's not the name of Jesus, can be worldly pleasures, thinking that some sort of experience, whether it's through drug-related or whether it's through some sort of escapism or traveling around the world, that somehow that will fill the void that we have in our souls for enjoyment. Some of us have a desire to find greater comfort in life, and we think that if we just become rich enough that we'll find comfort. Other of us may turn to new spirituality for guidance, like the tarot or crystals or whatever else that you may think may give you direction in life other than the name of Jesus. And for this beggar, I don't blame him. He just needed some money that could bring him some level of comfort, some level of food, some level of help in life. And I love what Peter and John did. They looked at him. They looked straight at his soul. And they're operating in the powerful name of Jesus, the authority that Jesus has given them. And they said, silver and gold I do not have. But what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And this man felt strength come into his ankles. And he went walking and he went leaping and he went praising the Lord God Almighty. I want to encourage you tonight that if you're in a great big global search for meaning and help and some sort of life. And if it's outside the name of Jesus, I don't believe you'll find it. But if you come to the name of Jesus, you will experience his power, his presence, his filling, and that will bring a wholeness to your life. It'll bring a purpose and a meaning to our existence on this earth, and that is to serve Jesus, to overflow his love into the world. That is our purpose. There's something really great about this text. In verse 11, while he held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished, and they came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why are you so surprised? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus." What a scene. Here is this beggar holding on to Peter and John, standing up and just physically holding on to them. And Peter and John start to address the crowd and start to give witness to Jesus Christ. You see, for this man, his greatest need wasn't actually the healing. His greatest need was actually forgiveness from Jesus, a spiritual healing that would give purpose to his physical healing. What's also really insightful for us in these moments is what Peter and John did. The purpose of the healing wasn't the whole picture. The healing was a little bit like a sign that pointed to Jesus Christ. It's a little bit like when we're driving on the road and we see a stop sign. That stop sign is not the point. That stop sign is pointing to the point, which is a physical line on the road to stop. The healing was a little bit like a stop sign pointing to the actual point, which is Jesus Christ. And that he has the power to heal, not just our physical, not just our emotional, but our spiritual bankruptcy, which is our sin and rebellion against God. And if you have a look, and we're going to finish on this verse, in verse 16, Peter then says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong." It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can see. Don't miss those words. His complete healing. His complete healing is not just the fact that he can physically walk. That's half the healing. His complete healing is that turning to Jesus Christ, repenting of sin, asking God to forgive us and saying that you want to follow Jesus completes this man's healing. You know, if we are going to pray in the powerful name of Jesus, we need to confess our sin. If we're going to experience a powerful movement of God, we also need to confess our sin. It's out of the confession of our sin that we can powerfully pray into people's lives. It's through the confession of our sin that we can wait on God for him to answer our prayers. Even, and I know this is hard, and as a pastor, I sit with so many people that are like, "Pastor, I just want God to answer my prayers." So I say that as somebody who sits with people that's waiting and waiting for God to answer. And it's really hard when you have unanswered prayer in your life. I think it's probably one of the biggest challenges that we face as Christians. What do we do with unanswered prayer? Well, we confess our sin and we call upon the name of Jesus and we believe that he has the power to heal. I also believe that God wants to use you to pray in the powerful name of Jesus within your families, in your workplaces, when you're walking down the street. Peter and John weren't some just super spiritual dudes. They were just men that confess their sin, believe that Jesus is powerful, experience the name of Jesus, and then went out. You see, when Peter and John healed that beggar, they'd already done it before. It wasn't a big deal for them because they've already done it. Jesus had trained them. And I want to encourage you, pray for others in the name of Jesus and wait on God for what he will do in that person's life. So let's take some time to pray. Let's take some time to allow God to move in our soul tonight. I believe it's appropriate to allow some space for us, just privately between you and God, to confess your sin, to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit that comes to us when we confess our sin. We would love to pray for you tonight in the name of Jesus. I'd like to think that you could pray for somebody else here tonight in the name of Jesus. You know what? There's not as many people here tonight as there usually is. You know what? That's okay. I think God wants to do something right now. I honestly believe that God wants to do something right now. And it starts with us being honest and real before God. It starts with us confessing our sin. And out of that, I believe God wants to do something. So we're going to pray. We're going to take some time to confess our sin. We're going to worship his holy name. And then Andrew, whom God has raised up as a key shepherd amongst us, will give us an opportunity to be prayed for. Let's pray. I believe God wants to do something here tonight. I can feel it within my spirit. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ that have chosen to come into your house tonight. I feel your spirit stirring right now, Holy Spirit. I believe you're here. Father, I pray that tonight that you would break into our lives afresh, that you would set us free, that you would heal our soul, that you would come, Lord Jesus, come, that we would see breakthrough prayer upon our life. But Father, we acknowledge that our sin, that our rebellion against you, that our selfishness, that our back turn to you, man, it holds us back from all that you want to do in and through us. So, Lord, we want to take this time to confess our sin and to call upon your name for forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for the joy that comes to our soul through the washing away of our sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on that cross for all our sin, for all our rebellion, for all our brokenness. Thank you, Jesus. I encourage you to take this moment just to pray, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Maybe you know some of the habitual sin in your life. Just ask God to forgive you. Maybe you've never reached out to Jesus before. Maybe tonight you want to take a step of faith. Then I want to encourage you, even if you've got so many questions and so much doubt about the existence of God, God only needs a small thought of possibility, and he'll start with you there. I just want to encourage you. Just cry out to God. Just say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I want to follow you. Lord, you know the desires of our heart. You know the troubles that we face, the challenges, the worries. Lord, I pray that tonight that we can call upon your name and experience your power and your mercy, your healing, your grace. I pray that we could go from this place, Lord, and that we can be bold and pray for people in the name of Jesus and expect miracles. Father, I pray you would increase our boldness to go in the powerful name of Jesus. For even the demons will submit to your name. Use us, Lord, in a bold, courageous, fresh way for you this week. In your name, Jesus. Amen.